staff, and we'll hope that Marilyn makes it onto the call before too long.
Jordan, who's on the call?
Sure. Right now we have Thomas Russler, Maggie, Nicholas, Kathy, Tom Keller, and Steve Mattel. And then we also have Barbara Glenn and myself.
Thank you.
Okay, so in terms of an agenda for today's call, first of all, I'd like to discuss the just sort of scheduling issues. We've had yet another change in schedule at the council level. Then I would like to dive into some of our outstanding policy issues, including a couple that have been raised with regards to the specific suggestions that Steve's made, and then we may then we'll reserve the remainder of our time for some further discussion on the tiered access side. And does anyone else have anything they'd like to add to the agenda? Great. Okay. So in terms of the schedule, I unfortunately, due to a last-minute conflict, wasn't able to make the council call last Thursday, but I know that we were granted all the task forces were granted a further extension in terms of time. Tom, were you on that call?
Yes, I was. And I tried to push it back a little bit, and it worked.
I know Task Force 1 had actually requested a full 30-day extension. So
that's correct, but they weren't even on the call. So the Bruce pretty much made that decision on it.
Sure, sure. Okay, so basically, Glenn, do you have or Barbara, do you have the new date?
I don't have it. Yes, it's the 28th of March. Of May.
Okay. So we have about 2.5 more weeks. Basically.
And there is a joint task force call on the 19th of May, which is Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. I put it at that time to give Task Force 3 their opportunity, because they normally meet at 10:30. Give them a chance just before the joint call.
Sure. And Glenn, what's the intention of the council with regards to the joint task force meeting? Just to harmonize whatever recommendations may sort of cross the boundaries between the task forces?
Yes, and because there's some issues that overlap in the task forces, and I think it's just wise that there be consultation before the report comes out.
Sure, that makes sense.
Does that mean the report is coming out as one big report?
No, there'll still be individual reports per task force. But if it does make sense if there are dependencies between them to start to at least have dialogue about them before the initial report comes out. For example, if we made an assumption on hypothetically speaking, let's say tiered access or something like that about an access mechanism, but Tier 1 wasn't planning on supporting that, obviously. It would be good to know that sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of how that affects our time, I'd still like to see if we can't proceed, fairly rapidly to get this initial report at least closed up and published. I don't want to be running up against the deadline again, and I think we're in a position now to make pretty good progress and get this closed. So, unfortunately, we got Maggie's contribution over the last week. I haven't seen anyone else's, but I'd like to just sort of check in on that and see if we can't calibrate our schedule based on where we're going to see some of the various contributions and the remaining policy work that we think we have. So,
Jordan, I'm sorry, this is Maggie. I just want to make sure that everyone got it, because I was having a heck of a time with my email on Friday, and I'm still kind of getting calls from people about other issues telling me they're looking for stuff that I thought I had already sent. So just want to confirm the status. I'm happy to hear that you got it. So,
Yeah, I definitely did, although now that I think about it, it didn't have the... I don't think I've seen a version with the Lisp header attached to it, so... Has anyone not seen Maggie's contribution?
Yes, I didn't get it.
Yeah, this is Barbara. I didn't get it either.
Okay, so... So it made it to individuals that you sent it to, perhaps, but not to the...
I'm sorry. Glenn, can I ask you to forward that? Because I don't know what to do about my server other than wait for the support folks.
Fine, I'll do that, Maggie, because I see it didn't make the list.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm really sorry. I forwarded it like 5 times.
Oh, we
didn't know what else I did.
It just didn't arrive.
Okay, so let me just check in put people on the spot here a little bit with where we stand in terms of other bits. Thomas, can you tell us what the progress is on the proxy services portion of the document?
I have to admit that I used the council call's version of a timeline as an excuse not to have done it.
Okay. How about, who else agreed to do stuff? Kathy?
I agreed to have the process to date.
Oh, yeah, Barbara.
And I should have that out today. I also have to admit that I used Thomas's excuse to put it off over the weekend.
No, I imagine probably a lot of people who weren't planning on getting it, didn't have it done Thursday, probably gave themselves a small reprieve.
I just wanted to announce myself as Marilyn, and I may be drifting off, but I'll dial back in depending on my cell coverage.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn. So Marilyn, let me just ask you about, I'm just trying to get feedback from people with the various parts that they'd volunteered to produce for the initial report.
I drafted something, and then I went back and printed out all of the historical material. I'm redrafting it and putting in the sites, so... I expect to have something probably. I didn't have my PC with me over the weekend. Expect to try to finish it tonight when I get in, or tomorrow send it out. But it's basically just drawn from the explaining what went on in the first task force and then the genesis of this task force with the factual dates and things for when that happened.
Right. Yep. That's exactly what we're looking for. Okay, great. So we'll look for that in the next couple of days.
Yep.
I got my list of parts. Let's see. I think we had given a little assignment to Steve.
I'll employ the Thomas Russler excuse. But I think it's also helpful, Jordan, I wanted to mention that now you've circulated the data collection document, which is helpful because some questions have been raised about how this part fits in with that part, but it's helpful to have that.
Sure. Okay. Well, so it sounds like we're definitely needing at least a few more days, but let's... if we think about a schedule from here on out, if we could get, say, by the middle of this week, everyone's contributions submitted, and then maybe Barbara or myself, we'll talk offline about that, Barbara, could assemble it into a big document.
Something that's more coherent.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Maggie actually did it in an incredibly helpful way, just to plug it into the existing outline I had created, but at the very least, if everyone does that, we'll have to just copy and paste all the little bits into the broader document.
Yeah, you and I should schedule a call.
Yeah, we'll talk offline, but certainly, hopefully by the end of this week, we could get that out, and then next week we could spend perhaps the majority of our call discussing, any changes that we wanted to make to the interim report. The initial report as it stands at that point, and then we'll have another week to work through those remaining issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what I would propose in terms of a schedule, if it works for everyone that's committed to do things, to try to get them done by, say, Wednesday of this week.
And then when do you think you might, if everybody could provide that, when do you think tentatively might be able to get something out that's cut and pasted everything so we can...
Well, assuming there's no big surprises, I would say probably by Friday at some point. Possibly earlier, but
yeah,
Friday seems reasonable.
Aim for.
Okay, so that's what we'll plan on, and hopefully, you know, like I said, obviously, you know, even just missing a single part's going to hold up the overall workflow. So, strongly encourage everyone to see what they can do, and if I don't see bits by Wednesday, I'll start to maybe contact people individually in order to motivate folks that we're waiting on. So with that, I'm going to move the conversation to more of a policy discussion. I'm going to structure this so perhaps we get through somewhat more straightforward topics initially, which are the we've started to see some dialogue on the list regarding the national law provision that Steve had drafted. I think, Kathy, you had raised questions on one more of Steve's suggestion as well.
I kind of issued a separate structure for how we might, what I had been thinking about when Tom raised the issue of notification of ICANN.
I'm thinking of, Steve's made a suggestion along a few lines, proxy services. So why don't we talk about national law briefly, then proxy services, see if we can't come to an agreement on those, and then we'll dive into any hairier topics that we have to cover on the call, probably including tiered access.
Could I just try to review the bidding on this local law issue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This originated from Thomas had a very simple proposal, one sentence, and as usually happens, it's gotten a little bit more complicated, not too much. Thomas had suggested that the provision about no registrar should be forced to breach its local laws in order to comply with the ICANN. Had some discussion about that on not the last call, I think that's the one. And I was tasked to circulate something that tried to reflect that discussion, and my suggestion was at a four-step process when registrars had credible basis for thinking that they might be prevented from complying with the contract because of their local law. And basically it was to notify ICANN with a summary of it, to try to consult and work out the problems, including involving the government agencies if they were already involved or if that was appropriate. And then if there was a problem that couldn't be resolved, some type of standardized notification to a requester that can't make this data available because of X, and another place you might be able to get it, Y. And then some type of notice from ICANN about this process, perhaps in some form to the public, to explain why they got different who is results from one registrar. Kathy then had some reactions to that focused on the I think they were focused on the role of law enforcement and how that ought to be handled if law enforcement came to the registrar and said you're violating this local law. At least I think that's what her proposal was about. What my suggestion to that was just that there probably ought to be an exception to this procedure if there was a case in which the local law enforcement or a government agency had told the registrar, don't disclose this problem to ICANN. I don't know how often that would happen or not, but obviously if it did happen, then we would need to be more flexible with the procedure. And then finally, Thomas just posted something a few minutes ago about, I thought was quite helpful, about how his in-house counsel reacted to this. And I guess I think the point there is that there is a point at which it's too late to negotiate with ICANN to try to work this out, but in the earlier stages, there might be the possibility of this type of consultation process, I think would be the optimal situation. But obviously, if the state agency, the government agency, says, no, you can't bring this to the attention of ICANN, you must simply do X, then we have to have it, or at least some modification of it. But I think the best situation would be if there's a problem, whether it's brought up by a government agency or not, but if there's a real problem, then the first step ought to be for the registrar to notify ICANN of the problem and see if there's a way that it can be resolved without deviation from contractual obligations. If it can't, then there's changes. Who is out and some notification to the public of what's happening.
David, it's Meryl, and I have a question. And if Tom is on the phone or another registrar, Jordan might even know, in the registrar application process, and I would assume in the registry process of awarding the TLD that the registry goes through the process of determining what laws apply to them within the country in which they are geographically located. Does the ICANN registrar accreditation ask the registrar what laws may apply to them that may affect their ability to meet the accreditation process?
Well, under that, I couldn't tell by word what is written in that contract. So as far as I know, it's just we even have some kind of exception that we shall apply to the regulations of the contract unless there is something
prohibited by national law.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I thought. Yeah.
But we don't have to state what
we're
not in compliance. So that's not part of the contract.
Yeah, and maybe Barbara might be another resource to speak to as well, but I don't think there's anywhere in the quote-unquote application process to become a registry or a registrar where issues of national law in conflict with the existing ICANN accreditation agreement or common registry agreements is explored.
Okay.
As far as I know, it's not taken into account right now. I know that... that there's been some discussion of that in the council's office, but I don't think we've formalized any process. And as far as I know, they've never, encountered it directly yet. So.
I suppose it could be a suggestion of changing the process going forward.
Yeah, I think all the proposals that we're looking at right now have to be couched in those terms, unless there is some specific incident or account that somebody wants to put forward as how things proceeded differently in the current, in the current regime.
Well, so let me ask this. Actually, before I do this, are there other people who want to speak or ask questions on this topic?
Yeah, Kathy.
Okay, Kathy. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Kathy.
Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but the national law sentences that you provided that we kind of agreed to in concept are very narrow. They're not any kind of conflict between the contract and local law. It's a contract on personal data. Is that right?
I don't think I understand the question, actually. Could you
read the actual sentences that you that we're kind of clarifying and redefining? Do you have those in front of you?
No, I don't. No, it's something about something totally different, which has nothing to do with this. But normally, I read the sentence about DENIC, and what it says is that, they were defining that they were in breach of certain things, and they cured it in that way, and they're very specific on what they want. And if you don't obey by what they say, you're kind of getting in trouble.
Getting in trouble, yeah. It's my sense, everyone, that we're in the consultation process right now that Steve is talking about. Let's have a general time to consult about this. Based on, you know, speeches made in Rome, George Papapavlou of the EU and Giovanni Buttarelli of the Italian Data Protection Authority both think that, you know, the WHO is data the way it is right now is in violation of, in one case, EU laws generally, in the other case, Italian data protection laws specifically. So we're kind of on notice that this is the background. So I'm not quite sure I understand Steve's, I mean, we're, you know, I understand that, you know, we should talk with ICANN, but that's the process that's going on now. When someone gets contacted, when a registrar gets contacted by a data protection commissioner, they're being contacted by a federal agency, you know, like the, you know, in the U.S., the Federal Communications Commission or Federal Trade Commission. They are being contacted, as I understand it, you know, with a complaint, either a complaint initiated by an individual, a consumer, a domain name holder, or a complaint that's been initiated by the agency itself. That's not the time, I think that's the time to respond to your own agency, not the time to, you know, start a consultative process with ICANN, since we all know how long that takes. Again, these are, you know, federal agencies, and according to the comments submitted by .name, that's exactly what they did. Let me just read to you. We asked a question number 5 as part of our data gathering. Have you changed or are you planning to change your WHOIS policy to suit your local privacy regulation? And GNR, for .name, responded, we have changed and may have to change in the future the WHOIS policy to follow local regulation as it evolves and in the case of successful complaints to the Information Commissioner. And the Information Commissioner is the UK's name for their Data Protection Commissioner. So here, you know, I think what we should do, the notification that came to mind to me modifying what Tom Keller had initially written and what we had agreed to was, you know, respond to your local agency, your federal agency, and then let the public know, let ICANN know, let the public know. But we're going through the consultative process now, and we're on notice that there are real deep problems now.
Can I get a cue to respond to that?
Yeah, sure. Marilyn, anyone else want to?
You know,
this is Steve. I'd like to be in.
Okay, so Marilyn and Steve.
Yeah, we could have said when the European Data Privacy Directive was first enacted that the world was on notice that there would be no third-party transfer, but in fact what we went through was an exhaustive discussion and dialogue and development of a mechanism by which to enable transfer of data to continue to flow through the U.S. And I think speeches are one thing which I don't ever take as public policy. I might take a speech as a indication of where public policy will go or where someone's thinking is, but I think what we're trying to do now is actually to determine what the future ought to be for the public policy that guides who is identifying where there are existing laws or policies that need to be taken into account. And I'm hoping we're going to move ahead with this, not around what any individual country's laws are, but around a framework that can be deployed by the registrars and registries who are trying to do business in multiple jurisdictions. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of a, I've spoken extensively with people from the European Commission, as others have, and it's still not fully clear what applies. You know, we keep coming down to the fact that it is, in essence, a question of when and if and what national laws will apply to who is in the GTLD. And I think we're trying to get ahead of this and determine what, if any, changes ought to be made. So
great.
If we're able to do that,
hopefully the notification to ICANN would be around whether or not the policy still works, as opposed to, you know, the situation that GNR encountered. They were going to establish themselves to do business in the UK, and one of their issues was, because they were physically present as a registry in the UK, what they needed to adhere to. As I recall, we went through, you know, early discussions with them, and I thought that was one of the things that made their situation different, as well as the fact that they were specifically identified as registering only individuals.
Okay.
Okay, great. So thanks, Marilyn. Steve?
Yeah, I would echo what Marilyn said, which is that the consultation process would work best in the context of a specific case where there's a specific problem about specific data elements based on a specific law, and we really know what we're dealing with rather than someone from Brussels who doesn't have responsibility for administering a single country's data protection law. Giving a speech, and I think this is also actually what I'm suggesting. I think is actually what happened in the case of Dotnet. That question five that Kathy read refers to the process they went through that ended up in the change to their who is system that was done to the board at Shanghai through. Shortly thereafter. I think they went through this consultative process. So I think that's the model we're talking about. But I would grant, as I think Kathy has raised the point, that there may be situations in which the government agency says, no, you can't consult with ICANN. You just have to do what we tell you. And if that happens, then